away. Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty thing.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 24, Second Floor Love Story. Sunday, 26 January, 2014. This episode features segments titled Yarn Lover at Large, The Front Porch, and Double Happiness. I'm Sarah Pomegranate, podcasting from Yin Hu Cha Yuan, Silver Lake Tea House. This week, I heard from M.H. Whitaker, Amelia from Virginia, Twinset Ellen, who is one half of the Twinset Designs audio podcast, and she asked if it would be okay to feature my project on her Bitsy Baby Beanies project page. I had a photograph of several hats I've made for the Click for Babies project, and of course I agreed that I would love to have my project photo featured there. There were also two new reviews on iTunes. Thank you so much to Wordsmithsonian and V. D'Amelia. We have weathered another cold week here at Yin Hu. And one thing I didn't mention about my visit to Vogue Knitting Live is that I attended a yoga class for knitters. There was an open class. It was of no particular level of difficulty. And people weren't dressed to do yoga or anything like that. But the young woman who was leading the class, I believe she was a representative from Reebok. She was showing us some yoga postures and stretches that would be particularly useful for knitters. And this reminded me that I should really get back into my yoga practice. I haven't attended yoga classes for quite a while, but I have attended fairly regularly in the past. And I have some series of yoga workouts that I do primarily in the summer because there's not a lot of room inside at Yin Hu for a yoga practice. The freezing cold weather and below freezing wind chill factors have meant that I'm not as enthusiastic about walking every day as I am when the weather is just even a little bit nicer. My walks have been shorter and I haven't been getting as much exercise, so I decided to turn the second floor of Yin Hu into a yoga studio. And I cleared some space and cleaned things up because one of the things about yoga practice that's important to me is that there can't be any visual clutter. It's very distracting to the mind and it makes for an unhappy practice, in my opinion. The second floor of Yin Hu is all one room with a vaulted ceiling. And it's quite small, but it contains our bedroom and an office for Samuel and an office for me, each with built-in bookshelves that we installed when we were working on the second story of the house. And it's also my recording studio, and we have a lot of things stored up here. So it was a bit of a challenge to organize and reconfigure and use some careful lighting strategies. But I think I was successful in imparting that feeling of yoga, that coziness, but also enough open space that it felt comfortable to do yoga practice. All of this has renewed my interest in spending time on the second floor of our house. It's nice and warm up here, and the yoga practice has been a welcome addition to my daily routine. On Saturday, I took a knitting class. The topic was swing knitting, and this class was held at my local yarn store, which is Mountain Knits and Purls in East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. The class was taught by Trisha Weatherston, who is Zemi on Ravelry, and she showed us a short row knitting technique. At the beginning of the class, Trisha explained a little bit about the history of swing knitting, and this term was coined by Heidi Liegman, who devised the method called swing knitting based on some pieces she had seen, I think, in a museum or some kind of exhibit. The pieces of fibercraft that she saw were older, and she was trying to reinvent or reimagine the design so that it could be replicated. And that led her to come up with this technique called swing knitting. Heidi Liegman's swing knitting employs the language of music to describe the features of the technique. She uses terms like melody and stanza in order to direct the knitter regarding how to shape certain parts of the pattern. This is all very abstract, and her descriptions can be quite wordy. So what we were using for the class to create a scarf, or it could be knit into an infinity type scarf. The design that we were using is by Brigitte Elliott. And Brigitte's technique is much more technical, much more instructive in terms of the directions she uses, you know, purl one, knit through the back loop, that kind of thing. And her terminology is a bit more agricultural. So she describes the two variations of swing knitting as field and furrow. I found this very appealing because the language of agriculture is appealing to me in general. And in looking at the completed scarf that our teacher had, it really did bring to mind the image of fields and furrows in between them, because some of the knitting is raised garter stitch and some of it retreats into a kind of furrow, and that's the stockinette stitch part. The secret to creating a piece in swing knitting, in my opinion, is the use of a stitch called the double stitch. And this is a stitch that replaces the notion of the wrap and turn. It's a simple technique, and it's very easy when you return to a place where you've double stitched to knit two together and create a rather seamless look on the right side of the garment or scarf in this case. The double stitch is something I had never really heard of before. And boy, did I wish I had known about that when I was working on my fellow's cloche, because the fellow's cloche employs a series of wraps and turns. And to be honest, mine don't look very good. It looks a little bit sloppy on that hat. I think if I had employed this technique of the double stitch, I would have had a much easier time knitting the brim of that hat. Nevertheless, the hat is nearly complete, and so I will not be going back to redo that portion, but it's something that I will keep in mind, and something, believe it or not, that has turned up on another project I'm working on right now. Anyway, back to the swing knitting. Just a little bit more detail about the project I'm working on. The yarn that it calls for is Zitron Zeitlos, and you use a multicolored and a solid in the same hue of color. So when I signed up for the class at the yarn shop, we could choose from blues, grays, greens, and reds, I think. And for each choice, there was a skein of solid color and a skein of that solid color done in a gradient, where the value changed from a very light blue, for example, through a number of shades of medium blue to a deep blue. When these two yarns are used for the fields and the furrows, there is a kind of musical or visual effect on the entire scarf, because there's movement and transition of color gradually over the course of the pattern. It's a very beautiful technique. This pattern also calls for US size 8 circular needles, although it's not done in a circular fashion. It's just back and forth on one pair of circulars. I guess the pattern designer thought that it would be easier to work the fields and the furrows on a pair of circular needles with a little more flexibility than it would be to work them on a pair of straight needles. The final thing I will say about this swing knitting pattern by Brigitte Elliott is that while the pattern is not incredibly difficult after you learn the double stitch and the technique of creating German short rows, the pattern is extremely intricate and it's very difficult to focus on two things at one time. So when I'm working on the swing knitting, I'm alone, the room is quiet, and if I happen to be with other people, I am antisocial. The pattern is enjoyable to work on because it's very engaging to the mind, but it does take a lot of energy to focus on each line of the pattern. The front porch. Last week, I alluded to a purchase that I made at Vogue Knitting Live in New York, and one of the booths I visited was Full Moon Farms Fabulous Fibers. The purveyor is Laura Watson, and she is from Gardiner, New York, where she has the fiber portion of the operation on a large family-run farm. Laura was friendly and dynamic, and we had a great conversation about her sheep and her yarn and the larger workings of the farm. And I was able to make a purchase of some yarn that would be perfect for a pattern I've had in my queue for a while. This is the Aggregate. It's a shawl design by Jimenez Joseph of Jimmy Knits. It's an arrowhead-shaped shawl, and it is designed for two complementary or highly contrasting colors of yarn. So the Caribbean Blue and the Honey Mustard I chose from Full Moon Farms Fabulous Fibers will work perfectly. The yarn is a 2-ply yarn. It's in a sport DK weight. It's really nice and springy and quite soft. It's from Merino Corriedale Cross Sheep, and 4 ounces provides 330 yards per skein. I am using a US size 6 needle rather than the size 8 that's called for. The pattern specifies worsted yarn, and this yarn is a little bit thinner. But the pattern also has a number of variations for making a larger shawl. So if I still have a lot of yarn left, I think I could expand the shawl and get it to a pretty good size, even though I'm using a smaller needle. I really like the way this yarn is working out in the pattern, which employs wraps and turns. So the shaping of the shawl requires wraps and turns because there's kind of a, it's hard to describe, there's a mirror effect of the way the design and the color plays out. So for example, if a portion of the shawl design is blue on one side, it appears to be yellow on the other. And the way that this design feature is achieved is through wraps and turns. However, since taking the swing knitting class, I am using the double stitch rather than the wraps and turns. And I really like it. It's making the knitting of this shawl extremely easy and a lot of fun. So I highly recommend this pattern. And I will also link to Full Moon Farm and their fiber operation in the show notes on my website. Double happiness. There is no happiness like the happiness of a new braid of fiber going on my spinning wheel. And this week it's made doubly nice by the fact that I have 8 ounces of fiber, 2 braids rather than one, and that these braids of fiber were a gift from Lara. Thank you, Lara. And thank you to Ginny of Fat Cat Knits for dyeing up this incredibly beautiful colorway called Valentino. It's perfect for this time of year because the colors put me in mind of Valentine's Day. There's bright pink, light pink, some purples, whites, and a nice deep chocolatey brown. Altogether, it's an incredibly pleasing experience on my spinning wheel. And I'm using a different technique for each of the 4 ounces. So the first 4 ounces that I've begun spinning already, I will spin quite thin and I will be chain plying them to get the gradient effect of color to color change. The second 4 ounces, I plan to spin much thicker and create a worsted weight or maybe even an Aran weight 2-ply yarn. This has been eluding me because every time I put fiber on my wheel, I end up spinning it very thin. It's great because I get nice yardage and I have a lot of yarn to work with for a project, but it's limiting because I really do need to experiment with some different kinds of yarn structures and being able to spin thin as well as thick, and also the technique of thick and thin, which is something you usually get when you're a beginner because you don't have great control over your spinning. But then that can be very hard to replicate once you have learned to spin and you've learned to get control and consistency out of your spinning. So I will be exploring those techniques, and my goal is to complete the first 4 ounces by Valentine's Day. Speaking of Valentine's Day, am I the only one who likes the conversation hearts? The really cheap ones in the box for 99 cents. I love those. A few of the stores around me had them out just after Christmas time, and I think I've already consumed more than my holiday share of conversation hearts. A little update on our bulk bins cook along. In January, the spotlight has been on lentils, and there has been fabulous conversation and recipe sharing going on in the Ravelry thread. On January 31st, I will draw a winner at random from all of the posts on that January thread about lentils. And that winner will receive a pattern on Ravelry priced at $7 or less. They will also have the option of winning some knitting stitch markers from Nido Markers in Denver, Colorado. The lovely purveyor of Neato markers has generously donated some for the show. So the winner in January will have a choice of stitch markers or a pattern. I will not be closing or locking the threads for our bulk bins cook along because I think they should remain a resource and folks should have an opportunity to continue to comment and share. So I'll just be using the podcast episodes to inform you about when I will choose winners and when I will open new threads. The new thread for February with a spotlight on oats will open on February 1st, and I implore you to shop your bulk bins and pick up some oats the next time you go to market so that you can participate in our bulk bins cook-along. Our quote this week is from Hal Borland and comes to us courtesy of Goodreads. No winter lasts forever. No spring skips its turn.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, flowery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thank you for listening. Music for this episode is So Wheat, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Chris DeLong and Cesar Diaz. You can find show notes and photographs on my blog at yarns@yinhu.com. If you enjoyed this episode, you can also like the show's Facebook page, follow me on Twitter as Sarah Pomegranate, or leave a review or a rating on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Cousins, but out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.